You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
Today, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you a handful of examples from the Bible where we see the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things the Holy Spirit is compared to or described as in the book of Acts, for one, is a mighty rushing wind. Now, when Kara and I, a couple years ago, had come out to look for a house to live in here in Clovis, it was March of 2014, and I've been around for a little bit. I'm not old, but I've been around long enough to experience wind. But in March of 2014, when we came to look for a house, I experienced wind in a way that I've never experienced it before. It was, and we've only had, to be honest, since we've lived here, we've only had maybe two or three days of that powerful of wind that we did that day. And so I don't question God's leading. I don't question Him leading me here and all of those things. But when we experienced that wind, it was kind of like Jonah when he didn't want to go to Nineveh for a second. Like, if this is every day, I didn't have to worry about my hair too much, but some of you do. But when we see the wind, we know that it's powerful. Yes. Did you, since I've been here in 2 years, the lowest, and this is, I mean this in a funny way, so don't take it seriously. The lowest attended Sunday morning we've had since I've been here was a day that the wind was just insane outside. I got here that day, and I opened this glass door over here, and everything in the foyer, kids included, blew all the way up the ramp to the prayer room. So we know wind is powerful. And when the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as a mighty rushing wind, we see power in that statement. And it's very true. Just the other day, people back in my home area of East Texas, trees were blown down and buildings were destroyed because of what? Because of wind. It's a powerful element. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it's like a mighty rushing wind. So today, let me make you nervous. Let me count. 6 points, all right? All of them short. Okay, you know what? Nobody's ever claimed about the length of the sermons, and if you did, it wouldn't do any good. I'd just keep doing them anyway. But the first one is this. The power of the Holy Spirit seen at creation. Okay, I have a ton of verses to back these up, and if you're taking notes and you'd like all these verse references, I'll certainly get them to you. But Genesis 1, 1 and 2, how about that? The Bible says in Genesis 1 that the Spirit of God was moving across the waters. And then even in Job chapter 26, the Bible says, by His wind, the heavens were made fair. By the power of God was all this created. How knowledgeable is God? How powerful is God's omniscience? Did you know not a little speck of dirt blows in a galaxy that we've never heard of that He doesn't know about? Well, who made all that? He made all that. The power of the Holy Spirit created everything. Okay? Don't ever mistake me for a guy that thinks all this just happened. I think God spoke the universe into existence. Okay? When the power of God is seen, or the power of the Holy Spirit is seen in creation. How about this one? Now, I told you that was quick. That was one. Painless. Number two, power in the Old Testament saints. One example, how about King David? Remember, Saul was king. Saul was hunting David down. All of those things. And it came time in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It was time for Samuel to anoint David as king of Israel. Remember, this is the passage, this is actually before he's being hunted by Saul. This is the passage where it talks about David's appearance, that he was young and ruddy in appearance, or red. He wasn't very intimidating physically. He was a young man, he was a teenager, he was a kid. The Bible says that that day when he was anointed as king over Israel, that the Spirit rushed upon David from that day forward. It's So think of all the things that David did in his life. Now, we know David made his share of mistakes, as recorded in the Bible. But think of all the things that were done. Of course, the big one we know of, David and Goliath. How was David able to slay the Philistine giant that day? Because the power of the Holy Spirit was dwelling in him. That's it. It wasn't because David was super accurate with his slingshot. It wasn't because he had been trained for that day. It's because the power of God in his life made that happen. A second one. How many of y'all, before I mentioned King David, how many of you have heard of King David before from the Old Testament? All right, just about everybody, okay. Well-known figure from the Old Testament. How about this guy? Bezalel. How many of y'all know who Bezalel was? All right, before I was studying this, if you said, Kevin, who's Bezalel, I would have thrown a guess out there, but I would have been completely wrong. In the book of Exodus, chapter 31, Bezalel is a guy that was one of the guys that was commissioned in building all of the things that went into the tabernacle. Bezalel, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 31, let me see, I wrote down a little quote here. No, I didn't. Bezalel was designing that, but the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, so he knew exactly how to make things like the Ark of the Covenant. So even a guy that we don't even know who he is, was by the power of the Holy Spirit, was able to do those things. Bezalel. Okay? Maybe that's somebody we'll remember from here on out. The power of God, he was able to do those things when he designed the things that went in the tabernacle. Another guy we've all heard of, Joshua. In Numbers 27, it's about time for Moses to step aside, for Moses to pass away, and for Joshua to lead the Hebrews. And the Bible says, it calls Joshua the son of Nun, N-U-N, that was his daddy's name, not N-O-N-E, but Joshua the son of Nun, the Bible says, was a man in whom the Spirit dwells. How was he able to lead the Hebrews across the Jordan River and do all of those things that they accomplished in his lifetime? The Spirit of God in his life. Okay, that's Joshua, a guy we know. How about, go to the book of Judges. This one I thought was very interesting. Book of Judges in the Old Testament. Joshua, Judges. Let's see, chapter 14, Judges chapter 14, we're going to read three verses about Samson. Y'all remember Samson? Jawbone of a donkey, all that tied the fox's tails together and lit all the fields on fire, all those crazy things. Judges chapter 14, verse 6, for using the Pew Bible, it's on page 214. Judges 14, verse 6 says this: Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. How was Samson physically strong enough to tear a lion apart? What does the Bible say? The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. Okay? Skip down to verse 19, Judges 14, verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house. So how was he able to defeat these 30 men? And when we say Ashkelon, that's one of the cities of the Philistines. So these were mighty warriors. How was he able to do that? The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. Was Samson's strength in his hair? Where was a true source of his strength? Was God himself. Go to chapter 15, verse 14, last verse on Samson. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and his bonds melted off of his hands. So there we see a third time, Samson performs an incredible feat of strength, and it's because the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. So, you know, in Samson's case, why is it that he was able to do these things, but then when his hair was cut, it seemed like his strength was gone? Go back to last week when we talked about grieving the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4. It is all tied to obedience. Had God not told Samson, do not cut your hair? God had told him that. God had commanded him that he not cut his hair. When his hair was cut, it wasn't the strength was from his hair. It was because even though it may have been a little bit out of his hands, he had been disobedient to God. He shouldn't have been hanging around with that lady anyway. Okay? It was obedience. So Samson's physical strength, even that was from the Spirit of the Lord. Now, of course, there's a lot more examples from the Old Testament. Well, that's just four right there. Number one, power in creation. Number two, power in Old Testament saints. And then power on Pentecost. Now, we read this just a couple of weeks ago from Acts chapter 2. We know the story very well for those of us that have been around church very long. The apostles, they were speaking in tongues, and everybody heard in their own native tongue. And that day, the Bible says 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord. The reason that 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord that day wasn't because the programming was top-notch. Was it because the building was heated or cooled just perfectly? Why were 3,000 souls converted to the Lord that day? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see the creation. We see it in these Old Testament guys. We see it on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And then fourthly, power, listen to this. We see the Holy Spirit's power in the ministry of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And then later in that same chapter, Jesus goes to a certain region, and the Bible says he went there because he was led there by the Spirit. So I would dare say for us as Christians, which literally means little Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, if the Spirit was an important person, an element in the Lord's life, surely the Spirit is for us as well. Amen. He was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said, I do these miracles by the Spirit of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, isn't that interesting? That's when he was being challenged, when people ask him, oh, aren't you doing these miracles because you have the power of Satan in your life? And Jesus, of course, countered with questions so many times. He said, no. I do these by the power of the Spirit of God. So we see the power of the Holy Spirit even in the ministry of Jesus. Fifthly, I think that is a word. We see the power of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of the apostles. What do those apostles do after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected and ascended back into heaven? Did they all lay low, go back home, write a few letters that we have recorded in the New Testament? No, they did things that were just incredible. Did they do those things out of their own abilities? Of course not. They did those things because of the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Remember, they would show up, they'd walking up to the temple to pray, and there was a man that was lame there. There was a man that couldn't walk. God walked. Why? Power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, at the very end of that Pentecost account, it says that the people there were in awe of the things the apostles were doing. It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And then lastly, number 6. Most of the time when a preacher says lastly, everybody gets a little excited. And then he goes too long. Number 6 is this. The power of the Holy Spirit in you. We read these accounts, we're like, King David, I'm not like him. I'm not like Joshua, the son of Nun. I can't lead the Hebrews across the Jordan River into the Promised Land to defeat Jericho and Ai and all these other places. I can't do those things. I can't walk down the street in the power that the apostles had and do the things that they did. I can't do those things. You know what? In many respects, you're correct. You can't, but he can. Has the Holy Spirit over the last 2,000 years, has it waned? See, I mess up it. Has he waned in his power? Of course not. Is he as powerful today as he was at the dawn of creation? When he put all the stars in the sky, when he set the oceans on earth and said, here, you can come this far and no further. Has anything diminished in the Holy Spirit at all in that time? Of course not. He's fully as powerful today as he's ever been. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Just the next book over from Acts. Romans 8, verse 11. And you say, Kevin, but I want the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. You want the Holy Spirit? Give your life to the Lord. That's how you gain the Holy Spirit. It's by trusting in Jesus Christ. Okay, the Bible says that he dwells in us. Do we really believe that God is powerful? Yes. Absolutely we do. I hope you do. If you feel like he's not in your life, maybe there's some area where you're being disobedient. Maybe you're grieving the Holy Spirit in a way you don't even know. But there is power in you. How about the spiritual gifts that you have? And I've mentioned this a few weeks ago as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says the Spirit gives us our spiritual gifts. And I will dare say that everybody that is a believer on earth today has spiritual gifts. Every single one of you. Okay? Did you know that one on the list there in the New Testament is hospitality? That's one I do not have. All right, don't come over to my house. All right, I'm kidding. All right, but I really don't have that gift. Some of us have the gift, the Bible says, of mercy. Okay, some have the gift and the ability to do musical things. I don't necessarily have that one either. But you have something that the Holy Spirit of God has given you as a believer. You have those gifts. Amen. Some of you are good with children. Praise God for you. Okay, some of you are good with teenagers. Praise the Lord for that. Okay? There are so many areas in which we need gifts. But the beautiful thing is, the Bible also says in that same passage, it equates us to a physical body. We can't expect the hand to do the same thing the eyeball does, can we? In the same way, the church body is similar. You may be an eyeball, you may be a hand, but whatever you are, you're important. And we can't do everything we need to do without you. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit is the spiritual gifts in you. He has given you those spiritual gifts. Okay? Acts 1:8. Let's read it again. We hadn't read it yet. Did we read it earlier? I'm losing my mind. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, this is the Lord speaking specifically to these guys. But you know what? That still applies to us. We are his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, our Jerusalem for right now for each of us is Clovis, New Mexico. Of course, and then he goes from local to regional to global. You know, we get to do is funny. This passage makes me smile because we support a guy I've known my whole life who's a missionary in the city of Jerusalem. And God is opening doors right now for Joseph in Jerusalem. One of Joseph's gifts, other than he is just a brain and a good man and a smart man and all that, another one of his gifts is the game of baseball. Now, you think God could use a baseball player? Joseph went over there with nothing like that in mind, but he's already been asked to coach a team in Jerusalem. And we get to have a hand in that. As small as that seems, Joseph isn't going in there to just coach them up to win ball games. It's to reach them for the Lord. Okay? It is our job to be witnesses for the Lord while we're here on earth in Clovis, New Mexico, and around the world. Now, you may not be able to travel the world. You may not be physically fit or financially able to go to the jungles of Africa or South America or even to Beijing, China. But you know what? You can still do those things here. You can still help those things here by prayer. Okay? 10% of the money that we give here at Highland Baptist Church goes to the cooperative program, which supports missionaries around the world. Okay, and as I mentioned a few weeks ago, 1,100 missionaries have left the field, and most of them left the field because there were not enough finances to support them. So I'm grateful for this church being a giving church and supporting those missionaries. The power of the Holy Spirit. If I ask you this morning, who led you to Christ? Okay, now God used somebody to lead me to Christ. Okay, in many ways, He used my mother to lead me to Christ. My mother raised us. We went to church every time the door was open. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, we even had to go early on Sunday nights because she was in the choir. Wednesday nights, we were there. She had a lot of great memories growing up, but she made sure that we heard the gospel. She took us to a Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church. So in many ways, it is because of her faithfulness that I heard the gospel 6 million times by the age of 17 when I finally responded. So in many ways, she led me to the Lord. And if I ask you today, and may just, I'll tell you what, on the count of three, let's do a little audience participation. I want you to say out loud, if somebody led you to the Lord, I want you to say their name on the count of three. Everybody understand? Yes. All right, 1, 2, 3. Yes. All right, good. There's a lot of them. Now, were you converted because of their faithfulness? You were converted, why? Because of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God that dwells in each one of us as believers. You know what the Bible says in Romans? Paul says this. Paul says that we are more than conquerors. If the Christian life to you is boring, if the Christian life to you seems pedestrian, let me say this. Somewhere along the way, you have abandoned and disobedient to the Lord. Does the Holy Spirit ever indwell somebody that comes to know Christ and then get up and leave? No. I don't believe that for a second. No. Okay? I believe very much so that the New Testament teaches the security of the believer. And once saved, always saved. I know some people disagree with that, and that's okay, but I really do believe that the Bible teaches that doctrine. That is the Holy Spirit. Remember Ephesians 4:30 last week? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, who seals you into the day of redemption. So whose hand are you in? You're in the hand of God. That power dwells in you. If Christianity is boring to you, if following God is boring to you, that's not God's fault. Whose fault is it then? It's not the church's fault.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to wash my hands clean, but it's not my fault either if it's boring to you. Now, it's on me if the sermons are boring and all of that, but if the Christian walk is boring to you, where's the power of God in your life? We are to use that power to be His witnesses to Clovis, New Mexico, the United States, and the whole world. Too often, I think we miss the power of the Holy Spirit, or we dismiss the power of the Holy Spirit because we get so caught up on things that happen right here as opposed to the things that are happening out there. You know what? If a meteor struck Highland Baptist Church right now, I'd go to, my next breath would be in heaven. And most of yours, if not all of yours, I hope all of you. But you know what? If a meteor struck Walmart right now, the statistics from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico say 70% of the people in Walmart would die and suffer eternity without the Lord.
That's true.
So while there's good things happening here, while there are some important things happening here, our job is to be witnesses for the Lord out there. Young and old alike. I would love for us at Highland Baptist Church to be known as a people that loves the folks outside these doors. And in many ways, this church has done that even before I was here. Okay, I know there was a focus several years ago on that, and I'm very much appreciative to the church for that. But there are things, there are folks out there that you know that you'll go to work with tomorrow, that you'll go to school with tomorrow, and they don't know the Lord Jesus. How, what can you do? Be obedient. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't get caught up on the stuff that won't matter in a week. But remember the things that will last forever. What lasts forever? People last forever. Eternity goes for everybody, one way or the other. Don't dismiss the power of God in your life. Seek it out. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek out the power of God in your life. What's different between you and King David? What's different between you and Peter, James, and John? Not much. They were regular folks who were obedient and saw the power of God in their life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the hope that we have for eternity because of Jesus' death and resurrection, that you have authority over death. Lord, we want to thank you for the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the one who I know I'm guilty of my entire life. I've kind of made him take a back seat in many ways for reasons unknown to myself. Maybe I was a little intimidated by him because he wants control over our life. He wants us to be filled with him. Lord, I want to ask forgiveness for myself today where I would rather live life many days in my own will and by my own means, and I dismiss the power of the Holy Spirit in my own life. God, as Christians, not just at Highland, but across the world, we should see people come to Christ often. I believe if we're faithful and obedient to you, that would happen. Lord, forgive me in that vein where I failed you miserably many times. Lord, I pray that nobody here could leave today and say, you know what, Christianity is boring. I don't think you find that anywhere in the Bible. I think those men and women who have been empowered and who have been filled with the Holy Spirit have lived a life that was anything but boring. We see the Apostle Paul and the things that he endured in his ministry. We know he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, this morning, most importantly, perhaps, for anybody here that doesn't know you, that has never allowed Jesus to be the Lord of their life, I pray that today's that day. That the Holy Spirit would do his role in convicting them of their sin and letting them know that they need a Savior. But they cannot do it on their own. It requires the power of God for any of us to walk through those pearly gates. I lift them up to you. Lord, and I pray right now for my brothers and sisters here that already know Jesus. I pray you would put somebody on their heart that they come in contact with frequently. Maybe it's somebody they live with. Maybe it's somebody they go to school with or work closely to. I pray you put that person on their heart and they would be obedient to share the gospel of Jesus with them sooner than later. That we would, under the power of God, be witnesses to people in our Jerusalem here in Clovis, New Mexico. I pray for myself that you would put people in contact with me this week, that you would put me together with them and give me an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know you. And convict us each for being lax in that command that you've given us. Lord, you've been so good to us and we don't deserve it. Well, today we just want to say thank you.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening.
For more
more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.